blessed be thy holy name. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for grace, for mercy, for your great, wonderful love towards every one of us, O Lord. Father, as we gather this morning now, Lord, to hear thy word, we ask that you come and break it down to us, O Lord, and let us taste of your goodness, O Father. We ask for your grace now that in what we hear, Father, we may apply it in our heart, in our lives, and keep those words that we learn in our hearts, O Lord.
Amen.
That we may not sin against thee. Now that we see, Lord, in the hours that we're living in, how close it is, O Lord, it must be to the coming and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to touch a little over what Brother James Biddlemore had brought out in the last two messages that he gave last week. Now, there are two messages that Brother James Biddlemore ministered. They are really very practical for us and for you who are not around here last Sunday. I want that you go back and download and listen to it. The two messages are simple enough, but the point brought up, I think it's very pertinent to our life and pretty practical. And the first being the sons of God, who you are, and what God is doing to us, being as sons of God in chastisement. And the second one in the afternoon, where he preached about, which of course he entitled, what's the title? I skipped my mind. Yes, our true identity. You know, and knowing who we are, surely, you know, we need to keep our position, because in the body of Christ, if we know who we are in the body of Christ, then we keep our position. Just like he mentioned about, you know, Sarai's maid, Hagar, and God reminded her that she was still Hagar's maid, and she remembered that place that she is in. And how practical it is, you know, for that we should remember we have a place in the house of God, and that we should remember where we are, what position we are in. Today I want to pick up some of the other thoughts, and my message today is on blindness or blind spots. And there's a title, Blind Spot. Pick up some of the things that why we fail to see what we do and why we do the things we are doing. Just for the definition, the word blind spot. I think we are those who drive cars, ride a motorcycle, would know what it is, you know, when you say be careful of your blind spot. So the definition of the word blind spot is a subject of thought in which one is ignorant, or the position that you're looking from, you know, you are ignorant of. So a subject or the phase of thought in which a person is ignorant or incapable of objective thoughts. And I believe that many of us in our life, there's plenty of blind spots in our life. I want to first of all look at this verse, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm reading from verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hate his brother or He that say he is in the light and hate his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walk in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, of course, this is just simple three verses to differentiate between light and darkness. So when we say blind spot, it's usually a black spot. You know, even like a person who has eye problem, like glaucoma, if it's not taken care of, the vision, the peripheral vision, will shrink. Until, you know, if I look at you right now, I could see Paul is on here. I could see his, even I look straight, I could see, because of the peripheral vision, I could see him sitting there. And I could see the windows, the curtain there. But for a person who has suffered from glaucoma, the peripheral vision, the cell will start to die. If it's not treated, it will start to die, and the vision gets narrow. And sooner or later, from where I'm standing, I could no longer see Paul, I could not even see Sister Wendy. And you get right now until you get what we call a tunnel vision. So whenever somebody calls you from the side, you have to turn your head to see him. You know, you have to turn all the way around. Instead of knowing that somebody just turn like this, you can see the Paul is after, can talk to Paul like this. Otherwise, the person will not know how to turn his whole vision, because his vision is tunneled. So get all these spots, black darkness around it. You know. So this is contrasting between light and darkness. And light is where we have the revelation. Light is where we have truth. Light is where we walk. Because without light, you cannot see. You stumble. You know, so in when we talk about blind spot, and blindness is a person who doesn't really think. Darkness always refers to something which is on our own thinking, our own objective thought, what we want to think it's supposed to be. Now, looking at the movie today called Noah, which has been sitting in the car and talking to brother Michael and Sister Sharon, they have seen that movie and they were just telling me about it. And Sister Bree also mentioned about it, you know. And of course, when I just read about the in the review, what this whole movie actually is about, it's not about Noah, the producer. It's not about God, actually. You know, it's all about the environment. You see, and of course, in the movie, it's a lot of things that is fantasy. I saw a little thriller on YouTube, and the first time when I saw it. A couple of weeks ago, and I said, what is this? It doesn't make sense, you know. And you have the Nephilim in the movie, and you have Tubal-Cain getting into the ark, you know, and Japheth being the last, born instead of the firstborn, and he was only a little kid. You know, what is that? You see? And no wonder they killed the two granddaughters. It doesn't make sense. You see? But it is just a fantasy. It is not Bible. Actually, the Noah is not Noah, the Bible. It's Noah, the Hollywood. See, they have an objective to create a movie to make money, obviously. You know? And then, of course, they put on the Bible epic. That sort of thing, and try to draw people. And of course, you see, people when they watch this movie, if they are a Christian who knows the Bible, they would know that something is wrong with this. But if they are a Christian who just goes to church 1 year in, 1 year out, never learning, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, and many Christians are like that. And I pray that you are not one of them. When we come to church, I always say, if we come to church without a Bible, then something is wrong with you, because you are not glad to be in the house of the Lord to listen to the word. And something is wrong. The first thing you should know when you come to church, bring your Bible. If I don't see you bring your Bible, you know, it tells me one thing. I believe that you don't even read it in the house, in the home. Simple enough. You believe your Bible there, and even Sunday you don't even bring it at all. That's one thing you should know. Your attitude, how you walk with the Lord, is important. Because blind spots are usually created by a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Believe me. Let us go to the book of Genesis chapter 13 now. Genesis chapter 13. All right, here we read from verse 1 to verse 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold, and went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt there in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, and I pray thee, between me and you, and between my herdmen and the herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, a story we all know so well. God called Abraham out of the wood of Chaldea. And here was the nephew. And the nephew said, Uncle, I wanted to come along. And so, Abraham, somehow, you know, as we all know, sometimes you love your nephew, overbear with him, and so he came along, and we know that later on Lot became a thorn in Abraham's side. So when they went down all the way, and then went down to Egypt and stayed there for quite some time, and then they moved out of Egypt. You know where Egypt is, if you remember your map in your mind. Alright, Egypt is slightly southwest of the land of Canaan. So now they decided to depart from there of Egypt and went to the southern part. In verse 1 he says, the southern part of where, not down south of Egypt, but going to the south of Canaan. So they went actually northeastward to the land of Canaan, and they dwelt in the southern part of that area, which is near about where Bethlehem, Jerusalem was supposed to be. Alright, and they went over to the area near Bethel. And so they were there, and of course there was this problem between Abraham's herdsman and Lord's husband, so there was strife. Now, if this continued all the time, of course, it created a lot of problem and a lot of unrest. So now Abraham said to Lord, here is an uncle who gave the privilege to the nephew to first choose his place where you want to go. He said to Lord, look at all this land here before you, all around you. Wherever you go, I will go the opposite direction. If you go north, I will go east. If you go north, I will go south, whatever. You know, take a pick. Have your choice. Now, we know that God did not call Lot. God called Abraham. But Abraham should have his own choice first, right? Let me go this direction and you take the other direction. But yet, in what we understand, Abraham being a man of God, he knew that when God chose him, God would guide his footsteps. And so he gave Lot the opportunity to choose. Now, Lot being a man who is not called of God, had anyone have the revelation, he was a tag along. Go where the uncle, you know, would go. Follow him. And so, when he looked at the plain, he was going to the direction eastward. towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know where Sodom and Gomorrah really, before God destroyed, you know where that two city were. They were at the southern part of the Dead Sea. Alright? That is to say, eastward of Jerusalem is the dead, you know, is that Dead Sea area down south. And Zoba was in that direction. There were these three cities: Sodom, Gomorrah, Zoba. Alright. Now, these two cities are of the three, Sodom and Gomorrah, were singled out in the Bible as being a city filled with wickedness, sin of man and woman. You know, Zoar wasn't singled out, but Zoar itself, also as a city, was filled with wickedness. You know. So that was a city before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a nice plain out there. Because, you know, it was a valley out there. You see? And he was looking towards the plain, not because he wanted to go to the plain actually that he could feed his cattle or what, but there was something that pulled him. Like we see today, what pulled people to what they want to do? People have different motive, their objective, what's in their heart. You see? So that is the draw, like Hollywood. If a woman, if a girl is grow up and she look in the mirror and she know that she's pretty, she could be a model, you know, or she could go out there, you know, in America, I'm just putting this scenario. In America, usually, and I've read cases, years ago I read cases, and I feel pity for these young girls. Many of them were young, and this article was true because the person who wrote it wrote what he had studied, he did the research. So many young women, pretty young teen, they came from the eastern part, middle part of America to go to Hollywood, hoping to try to be at least be an actress or a model. And well, because of the lack of skill of acting, or they don't know how to really be as put into the feeling of being an actress, they end up into pornography. And I read some article, they were showing some picture of these girls and how they later on they commit suicide. Pretty girls, you know, because they all have the feature, they look nice, they were slim and they were tall. You see. So they were, you see, Lot was drawn to that area, not because it's just the plain, it's because there was something out there. It's a city. You know. Like today, in India, there is a problem. A lot of Indian in the village, they will get out of the village, they go to Mumbai, go to Delhi, to hopefully to find job. And they couldn't find job, they'd be sleeping on the streets. Like I was there, you know, my son years ago, I mean, I've been there many times. And, you know, there's this Methodist Lodge or the YMCA hotel. And on the roadside near the doorway, you will see all these, what do you call them? Vagrant, what do you call them? Homeless. Sleeping on the roadside in a cardboard. You know. This also you see in America, New York, plenty. People are drawn to the city to find opportunity, to find work. You know. So, that's one of the things. People are drawn to the city. So Lot was drawn to that because of the glittering thing that's out there, obviously. But you see, he had a blind spot on this. He didn't know what God's reason was for Abraham. And if he were to take along Abraham, he would have tried to contain himself. No. He made a wrong choice. But let me say this. Perhaps the Lot's thought, it could be like you, here, sitting here today. You make a choice between two places. And then you say, okay, I'm going this direction. And then you will say, if it is not God's choice, if God don't want me to go there, God will stop me. Many of us would think about this. But that's what Lot was thinking. If God did not want me to be dying in the Jordan plain near to Sodom and Gomorrah, God would stop me. Do you think that God would stop him? Huh? Why should God stop him? Why would God stop you? Let me be this. Let me do this. Let me do what I want to do. If it wasn't God, God would stop me. Let me tell you this. God will not stop you. God will let you walk all the way to the cliff and drop. And let you drop. Because why? He will have the word to guide you. Lord hath Abraham for an example. But he had not the revelation of Abraham. You and I have the word to guide us. But if you don't have the revelation, then you have a problem. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? Why is it so important that this word of God should be our daily diet? Our nutrient, our food. You see. That's all I was saying on Friday. I was saying one of these days I'm gonna come back from my trip to Europe. I'm going to deal with about this rapture thing. It's a long time we talk about the rapture. How is that going to happen? And when it happens, are all believers going to go up, poops, go up into the air? If not, then how is it going to happen? Because there have been a lot of changes in the mind of many people in the denomination. They believe that no, there will not be a rapture, they are going through a tribulation. All Christians will have to go through tribulation. And the very fact is, the rapture or the translation is not for everybody. It's a secret. It's a mystery. You know. So, let us realize one thing. God's permissiveness, His permissive will, or His allowing certain things that you want to do, Don't take it as God's will. That is the permissive will versus the God's perfect will. So there are two kinds. And God never changed His mind about His true will. Let us go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 7 and 8. Let's see here. It says here that God delivered. Alright, we'll just read from verse 4. If God spared not the angel that sinned not, but cast them down to hell and delivered them unto the chain of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah and a person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. And deliver just Lord, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. The Bible said that Lot was righteous. Is that right? He was a judgment. He was righteous. But yet, God chose him and picked him out from Sodom and Gomorrah. That city was so wicked, and listen what he said. That righteous man, Lot, was dwelling among them, every day seeing and hearing what was going on in those cities. And vexing his soul from day to day with all this unlawful deed, wicked deed, evil deed. You can say probably on the street, man sodomizing another man. Huh? And the act of his tyranny was being done right in the, well, in some little corner of the streets perhaps. Even when the angel was sent to deliver Lot out of that city, the man was trying to get at those angels. Of course, don't think that the angel was there with wings. Of course, there are people who are frightened. But just normal men going in there. You see. So Bible said, Lord was righteous. But if he was righteous, he should have known the word of God. Now, we are all righteous because God gave us righteousness, imputed upon us righteousness. Right? Yes or no? No. So what does it come to? If one was righteous, he should be seeking the will of the Lord. So if we are righteous, and we are righteous, then we should be seeking the will of the Lord. But Lord wasn't seeking the will of the Lord. Like many Christians today, they are not seeking the will of the Lord. Yeah. You know, every day you hear in the news, the thing that is happening, there are a lot more bad news than good news. Right? Yes, sir. And then, of course, the paper, was it yesterday or the day, or was it Friday? Or yesterday, I think, it says Singaporeans want to retire at 55. Like one brother here. Want to retire at 55. Yeah, that's supposed to be good news. I want to retire at 55 and join life. But then, you see, do you think you can retire at 55? Many of them know them. It's not going to be yet that easy. Huh? Unless you're going to eat one instead of one nice piece of fish, you eat jamhu, salted fish. Something like that, you've got, you know, you have to really stinch on your food then to cover for, unless of course you have $1 million in your bank. So there, you see, the thing is that we see the world that is today, we see, oh, the problem out there now in the world now, that's getting real bad. Over in the Ukraine, Crimea, and this Russian, and American, NATO, and European, the Euro, European country. You see? They're all now gearing up. One sanction. What sanction? You think Russia is worried about your sanction? They have China to turn to. And they have the world, have America forget, and China is a superpower. And you know, America tried to tell China what to do. China said, you're going to claim your own backyard. China is not afraid. China could take the whole nations of America down easily. Even Russia. The thing that all the Cold War is over, everything, the nuclear arm has been dismantled. Oh, don't be surprised. You know. Sure, Russia may not seem to have a great technology. But look at some of the plane that they built. It's so much better than American fighter plane. You know. So, you know, as the song that we, you know, that we played one time, the army is on the march. With the war that we see today, what kind of people are winning? Pakistan has its own problem. There's still a lot of killing. That's what the brother said, Brother Gunn, we cannot organize any convention here. Not just in Islamabad, in the north, but in Karachi itself, down there, there's already problem. Huh? And today's paper I read, I could just feel, so what kind of a law is that? A nine-month-old toddler was arrested for murder. 9 months old. Because, you know, he turned on the gas the worker. You mean a kid know what he's doing? He's like, crawling around, you know, touching things. You know, how crazy this whole war is. Here in Singapore, we have this comfort zone. Out there in India, in Africa, in Pakistan, Sudan, Somalia, they face all these fightings, unrest. Nobody, many of them are worried. And I saw the documentary on television in Tanzania about the albino. I said, wow. But 1 out of 20,000 birth in many of these different races of people are albino. But in Tanzania, it's 8 times more. You know. And you know what? They believe that when a child is born, albino, it's a cousin of family and must be killed. And there are many that kill the child when they are born, they just chop them into pieces and bury them. You see that? But some parents will keep them. But when the village thought about it, the storming that would demand that. And thousands now, that is the only country in the world, Tanzania, that has the highest population of albinos. But they, some charitable organizations created an orphanage. And all these albinos are kept in that orphanage. And every one of them are albinos. They do not know what's happening. They don't go out. Because, you know, some of them were shown with no arm. Because she said the individual went out and some men will come and get them and cut off their arm. And what they do with their arm? They sell it. Sell it to the witch doctors. They're supposed to bring some kind of special magic. Bring you riches, whoever possesses it. You know, you see, the world is crazy. So we are living at this time. You know, the Bible tells us there's all this unrest in the world, distress of nations, politically, socially, militarily, religiously. How close are we to the coming of the Lord? See, so right now, if we know that Christ's coming is near, what about our desire? You know, if our desire is unsanctified, well, it could be your pet sin. Your behavior, bad behavior, pet sin, your possession, you want something that you want and you insist on having that. Your career. Your career is more important to you than God or to your soul, your faith. What about your family? Or your talents? Your gifts, your abilities? Some people are always preoccupied with their own personal desire, you know. I know that. Because correspond with some brothers and sisters overseas, they know. And when people are so preoccupied with their own personal desire, it can be very damaging to the family. Or to relationship between husband and wife, and children and parents. And there are all those, of course, that are very prejudiced. You know, whatever is going through our thought, whatever is our desire, everything that we are preoccupied, these sort of things can actually destroy us, our spiritual life. So now, what's your desire? If your desire is not sanctified, it's not in harmony with God, well, then they are not sanctified. Is that right? As Paul said, if anything have virtue, think of these things. If that they have no virtue, don't think of it. Huh? I know, you know, then, you know, in all those blue collar, I mean, not blue collar, white collar jobs. People who wanted to be a banker or be a trader, want to get more money, and, you know, day in and day out, they sit and watch the computer, money rise up and down, when to buy, when to sell, and make money. And go into that state. They want to get what they want. So, what do they have time for the Lord? I guess not. When you just think so much about your career and desire, it brings death. It brings bondage to yourself. Because you are in bondage to the things, you know, that you don't have time for the Lord. You don't even have time to live sinly. You don't even have time to live normally. Huh. Okay? Alright. And then of course there are those that, you know, I like this part here that I wrote it down. You know, philosophy. You know, philosophical thinking. Our philosophical thinking. You know, we try to use that in attempt to justify why we do what we do. And in the end, you know what? This thing will never cleanse any. Purify us of our selfish and rebellious desire from to get it away from the Lord. We find it very hard to do that. We will have excuses. Excuses are very common. We are made filled with excuses. All right, now there is the other thing that we know is that this is that the sin of refusing to obey God. And when God issue order, we don't want to do it. Just that we don't know so often. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give our excuses, not necessarily this, the thief at the cross, no one were baptized. But the Bible said this way, we go this way. If we don't do it, it's rebellion. When the Lord tells us to gather together to break bread and remember the Lord's death till He comes. Communion. Feet washing. We don't want to do it. You give all kinds of reasons. And my friend said, you know, it's only a symbol. So, but if it is only a symbol, what did Jesus say? You do it. You know. And we don't do it. What do we do? It's rebellion. And then, when God did not issue an order, we go ahead. When God issued an order, we don't do it. It's rebellion. When God did not issue an order, we go ahead and do it. So there's a way that seems wrong to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Yeah? I think God wants me to do this. I think God wants me to do that. I think God will want to go there, just like Lot. And God will not put a... You know, people think that God will put a stop to it, put a sign and say, "Hold, don't!" Yeah? There are many times God doesn't do that. Do you see? Alright? So, don't insist. Don't ever insist that your will be done. You have a consequence. Let us go to the book of Luke 24. Now, remember, sharpishness will always distort our thinking, huh? Our perception of God's will. Luke chapter 24. And see what here the Bible said. And verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." You see that? No, this is God's way. God says, tarry. Tarry until God says, go. Tarry until God says, do this, do that. Now the disciple here did not know what else to do because the Lord now is gone. And Jesus said, "Well, you return back to Jerusalem and you wait there. Wait there until you be endued with power from on high." And they don't know what they're supposed to be. So they're tarrying. One day after another day. Now remember, how many days was Jesus Christ on the earth before He ascended? After His resurrection, between his resurrection and ascension. How many days was He on the earth? How many days? Do you remember? 40 days. 40 days. What happened during those 40 days? The Bible doesn't tell you much. But there is something in those 40 days. We'll talk about it some other time. But it's enough to, after He ascended, there's still 10 days to Pentecost. Right? So they were there. They didn't know it was supposed to went to Pentecost. They were just told to tarry. They never said, "Hold on, how many days?" So they tarry. They didn't go back to Galilee. They didn't go anywhere. They just went in Jerusalem. Remember, they were fishermen, huh? Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. And said, "Wow, we need to eat, you know. We need to go back to work. We are fishermen. We need to go back and fish in the Sea of Galilee, or else we got no food." But no, they obeyed. And they tarry one day after another. They didn't realize what to do. But they were not in the temple every day, you understand? But only when the feast of Pentecost come, they had to appear there because they were told by the commandment of the Old Testament, given to the Moses on Mount Sinai. So they had to appear in the temple. So that's when it happened. So that's one thing to be able to obey. Alright, now let's go to Genesis chapter 19, 1 to 30. Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 to 30. So here we have, of course, the story of, or the record. I don't like to say it's a story. Story, I think that is not true. Huh? He says it's a record here of how that God sent in two angels, most likely I can think it's only Michael and Gabriel, to go and rescue Lord and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's read from verse 17. What happened after they left the city? And it came to pass, when they have brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Ah. But you know what happened, huh? You know the story of what happened, the record what happened to Lot's wife. You see, when they were running towards the mountain, they were running away from Sodom and Gomorrah towards Zoar, which is the next city here on the mountain side. So when God told them to run, of course going to Zoar was just God's permission. We also, after all, they already got themselves in that trouble. Well, you see, when Lord, in the beginning, when Abraham asked him to choose, his eye was focused on that direction of Zoar, in that direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So now when he went into those two cities, which is not very far from each other, in this way and that way, Zoar a little bit down south. So when they were in that direction, when they were caught in that situation, where else could they go? They have to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, away from Zoar as well, because Zoar was a wicked city as well. So they have gone towards the mountain. But how far could they get? You see, when we realize what we see, that the blind spot of Lot causes him much hardship. Not only for him, but for his wife and two daughters, until of course the wife, being that she might have been playing mahjong with the woman in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah every evening. You know, when people are rich in that city, what do you think they play? Like here in Singapore, or maybe in China, they play mahjong, or Hong Kong, they play all kinds of games. So there is a relationship between Lot's wife and those women up there in the sea. So when the Lord God told them to run, they were running and then not to look back. But Lot's wife was very curious, what is going to happen? Then of course they ran and then they heard a big explosion. Even there was a great shock. I mean, when you hear a great explosion, everybody will be shocked. And tendency is you want to turn and look back. But the Lord said, don't ever look back. No matter what, run. Lord's wife turned back and looked. What a horrible sight. Brimstone and fire blew out, so sky high, and came down from heaven. She was so petrified by what she saw. She was so shocked by what she saw that she froze Now, when those brimstone and those salt materials start coming down, now those are liquid. The moment it lands on you, it solidifies. And that's why she became a pillar of salt. You know, there's a big whole pile of these ashes coming down, brimstones and salt. If you don't rise, you're finished. So she became a pillar of salt. To this day, if you go there, you will see there's a little tree stump here, a whole covered up with a pillar of salt, you know, a little bush covered with a pillar of salt, or a little, maybe a little rock sticks out, and salt just piled on it. In that land, you still see. Maybe you can find lots right there, I don't know. Okay, so because of her, this, because of Lot's blind spot, it causes all this problem and hardship until, well, we say, would it be Lot's disobedient? And I believe that if he, Lot, would have followed Abraham, Abraham's revelation, Abraham's vision, he would know that that place is not for them. Because the whole land out there in Canaan, there are many cities, and they were filled with the Canaanites. Remember, they are Canaanites. Genesis 19:30 says that. And Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. And they feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in caves, and he and his two daughters. Running one towards the mother, going to Zoar, what kind of house can you do? After you already, you know, the wife died, and they try to go to Zoar and live, but they can't because of their wickedness. So they went out there and lived in the cave. What happened in the cave? They had hardship. They cannot live in the city because of the wicked man, they were scared. They move up the mountain, live in a cave. What happened in the cave? The rest of the record you can read, and you know what happened. Huh? So much so that you know, well, Lord don't have any seed in the land. Sure. No son. The wife's gone. The two daughters say, well, let's not do something for daddy. Huh. So they slept with their daddy. And what children were born? And that's why the problem started. Ammon, Moab, the Ammonites and the Moabites. There were problems to them, children of Israel, later on. You see. So you see one thing, when you have a blind spot, you know you have the word, you don't follow it, you don't have. Well, we some say, but then you have the revelation. Sometimes it's the word of the Lord. Then what we need to do is just to seek the mind of God, seek the will of God, instead of being disobedient and choose our way. And we find ourselves getting into trouble, we pass it down from daddy to mommy to children. Or even if you're not married, you can pass the problem down to your mommy, to your daddy. Yes? Huh? So, there is never a God substitute for the revealed will of God. There's no way that you can substitute God's will. You have to, well, surrender yourself. Fully surrender yourself. Any other way, any other philosophical, what we call reasoning, it's only a hindrance. Now, there are people I know of, all these many years, fellowshipping with them. Some brother and sister think that, well, I have a comfortable house, beautiful house, a comfortable life. I have cars. I have a good career. I earn good money every month. My wages is good. They think that these material goods they possess are indicators of God's blessing on them. And this is the one teaching that the charismatic teach. God wants you to be a millionaire. God wants you to be rich. You see. And then we have all this over. I believe Reverend Sun Yunmun, if that's the name, Muni. He had what we call the teaching of vision. Just imagine something and speak the word, you will get it. Do you understand? They are noticing. Just what they call that visualization. Yeah. Just visualize it. What you want. And speak in the name of the Lord. You will have it. Somebody call positive thinking. Faith, revelation is not a positive thinking. It's a fact. If you have a revelation that you have salvation, you confess it. That's a fact. Right? If Christ is your healer and you know you have the revelation that He will heal you, then you confess it. That will become a fact. But you don't visualize. What is that to visualize? I mean, God's word is there. Even the disciples, Jesus was talking to them about the faith. Then they asked Jesus, increase our faith. Right? And Jesus said, if you have the faith, even of a mustard seed, you said that the mountain be removed, it will be removed. Huh? If you have the faith of mustard seed, that is no matter of how big your faith is, or how small your faith is. It's whether the faith is built on solid ground in the Word of God. Oh, yes, I have faith. I want to message this man. I said it. I want to message this man. Lord, I want to message this man. You think you get a message this man? You can visualize until you go crazy. You will not get a message this man. You get a headache. You see, it is based on God's will. It's not your will be done. It's not what you want. It's what God wants for us. That is the fact. So people think that, what you know, oh my, I have all this wealth, I have all this thing. It must be God's blessing. God loves me so much. And you think, oh, my spiritual life is okay. Hey, you're lying to yourself. I've said this before, you know, this discussion. Is there such thing as a perfect marriage? Anybody who says a perfect marriage, I tell you, you don't lie to me, you lie to yourself. Even our marriage with Christ is not perfect. We are the wife, He's the husband, right? Sometimes we grumble too much and give Him a headache. Do you think so? But He bear with us. The Bible says He has patience. Well, you hear somebody say, oh, perfect marriage is perfect. Really? Who are you trying to deceive? Which husband and wife here, which of you parents, I mean, those who are married, never argue with each other? Really? So you mean you get a golden award? If you never... You would definitely argue with each other, overthink here and there. Sometimes the moment you marry, already got problem. You don't believe that there, people married already, you know, maybe they're having a feast, you know, after thing and that, they quarrel over there, say, I told you not to have this, you see, they cannot finish, you already have problem. You know, all kinds of things will be there. So there is no such thing as perfect. So I believe, well, you know, we have this and that, we have, my spiritual life is okay because God blessed me with this. Oh, my. Oh, boy. Let me tell you sometimes, it's when you don't have problems in life as a Christian, you better examine yourself. Because, like Brother James preached, the chastisement. Huh? Because no matter, sometimes we don't do a thing, but God has a precision for you. You need to know where your position is. That's the same. That's why God spoke to Hagar. Remember, you are Sarah's maid. You are still her maid. Know that position and return home and subject to her. That's God's will. No. What about you say no? I mean, sometimes all the reasoning, you know, because she treat me like that, she treat me like that, or he treat me. We got all kinds of reasoning. Sarah may not be perfect. Am I right? You sure? Yeah. Let's go look at Sarah's case then. Genesis 16. Now here in Genesis 16, you know what happened in the record. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord hath restrain me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, that's what you read. Huh? I see when you... I remember when you read, the Bible is not... God did not write the Bible like writing a thriller. You know, some of these... Thick book, novel book. You know, I see people just buy the thick novel book by Brown or Howard Brown and you know what, and Terry Pratchett and all this famous author. Yeah, and they can read one page, a few pages, and I don't know how long they take to read them, and they can still remember what they read. I don't think so. But the fact is that God is not writing a drama in all detail. So now when you say, here we have Sarah, I said, you know, I think God, I know God has restrained from me from having a child. Maybe you should take Hagar, no? And going with her, that perhaps was God's way that you should have her and bring me a better child for me, you know? And then Abraham said, okay, it's not like that. You know, I believe there is always, you know, this reason. Abraham said, no. The Lord said, it's by you. So there's always, you know, argument and then the morning, another day. You know, happy, good husband, you know. Been so long, I need to carry a child, and you know, I want a child, go with, you know, to Hagar. No, Abraham would say, no, that's not the will. You know, but she came on day after day, huh? Don't just read when it like follow through. No, it's not. That is the thing about it. He hearkened. It comes, finally come to a place where, okay, I'll do it. Now, because of Sarai's impatience, substitution for what was God's original plan by her. And so what happened? Spur me that. Abraham, okay, took Hagar. And when Hagar was pregnant, oh, she was so joyful. But then, her action, you know, was put down Sarah. Until Sarah could not accept the way she was behaving, sent her off. She started the problem, and she giving Abraham the problem, isn't it? And later on, the whole Israel had the problem. You see the thing? You know, God did not stop her anyway. The thing is this. Her action caused so much hardship. People think, well, if it's not God's will, God will stop it. No, God doesn't know. God don't have to stop it. You know. Sometimes we think, well, it's not God's will, God will stop it. Alright, so. Now we look at what happened to Lot. When he went out there to that city, the Bible did not tell us what happened to all his possession. Huh? What happened to his herdsmen? What happened? Something bad must have happened to his people. And the Bible focused on him being in the city. With no place to go. See? He end up with everything lost. Except his life and his two daughters. So let us make sure that our life is truthfully in the walk with God. Don't have your wealth. Say, God bless you. Let me do what I want. And even sometimes when we don't speak it out, even our action is louder than the word. You know? So we need to build our faith one after another, from glory to glory, as Paul would say, as in the statue of the perfect man, the seven virtue of Christ. Beginning with faith at the bottom. That revelation of the word of God is very important to us. Now let us go on again to the next book. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The word of God stands sure. He would not alter his word. He would not change his word just to suit man's fancy. And so, a man actually lied. And I just remember my Presbyterian friend. If you remember reading the book, Interpreting Sacred Scripture, his argument over the two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, I'll be damned in hell if I do not believe that the two trees are natural trees. Wow. You know, man is so sure of himself. I'll be damned in hell if I don't believe that two trees were natural trees. Wow, he's so sure. By saying that, what he's trying to prove? That you are wrong, Richard. I'm right. You know, people emphasize, just like the atheists, those who don't believe in God. If God exists, strike me blind right now. Not with God, sir, you're blind. You're already blind. Do you see the fact? By saying that, you're trying to prove that there's no God. Isn't it? See, he didn't strike you blind. So there's no God. The problem, if God struck him blind, all those people who are around would know that there is a God. And God is not interested in trying to chip sell his reality. Isn't it so? You know, very simple. This friend of mine, when I first witnessed to him in a hospital, come on, Richard, prove to me God, and I'll believe. Simple enough statement. I said, okay, you want a challenge? And I give him the challenge. He said, when you come to work in the night shift, and all the patients are sleeping, you know, you're free. You do all your work midnight. When all by the time midnight, patient will also be sleeping. Just get out of the ward, into the field. Just look up into the night sky. And then come and tell me whether there is God. I just give him the simple challenge. Several days later, when I went to work, I met him. He said, oh, come. I said, what? You're right, there is a God. He said, you want to hear the gospel now? That's when I give him the gospel. You see, it's all taking. The Bible said they haven't declared the glory of God. A fool said there's no God. They think that all the stars of the heavens, the sun and the moon, appear by themselves. And then you and I came from what? A little cell, maybe amoeba in the sea or some whatever, I'll get out there. They suddenly decided to put on fins and swim, and decided to put on leg and hop onto the land.
Huh? And shall I be still and become a frog? And the frog said, I want to climb the tree. And he climbed up there and become a monkey. And after the monkey said, I want to come down and become a man. So you come from a monkey. Only a fool says that. You know, the Bible says a record that you cannot escape the reality of it. King David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you realize that? Why you have five fingers? Why do you have two eyes, not just one? Just close one eye and see. Just go walking around with one eye, see how your depth of vision, there's no dimension. It's just flat. You can never tell how far the distance is with just one eye. Do you know that? And why is the nose above your mouth and not the other way around? Good question. Like I said, why is not your nose the other way? Turn around here. Your hole's on your top. You know. Why do you have an eyebrow? And I see people sometimes shave off their eyebrow, the real one, and put a fake one on. They go and tattoo on it, or they draw on it. Yeah. I even see men have that. Men. Wow, it's a wonder. You know. And what is the ear on the side and face forward? And what is the ear look for? Why is it not just, you know, nothing, just two holes here? Why do we have this? Wonderful creation of the Lord. Yes. And the way your arm is, you know, the joint. Your heart. Hey, the heart don't need batteries. Do you know that? When you breathe, you have to breathe. You are conscious about it. But sometimes you sit, you're not even conscious that you're breathing. And your heart does not stop pumping. The battery is for life. No need to change. Look, if there is no mighty creator to create us, how are we here? That's why man is alive. They want, they think that they know. That's why Socrates said that. And I like it. Don't think you know what you do not know. Don't think you know what you do not know. That's right. So you know they want to add to God's revealed word by their own assumption on top of that. And boldly claim that they know what they believe. The Bible said there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be that you should be wise in your own conceit. The blindness in part is happened to Israel and to the fullness of the Gentile becoming. Okay, then we go over to Ephesians 4:18. Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in their heart because of the blindness of their heart. Now, blindness in part was, it happened to Israel. Now, not all of Israel blind, but only part of Israel blind. You see that they, because of their ignorance. Huh? When Israel get this blind spot, I mean, Israel is actually, you know, sometimes you read through the Old Testament, you just wonder why Israel is such a headache. With all that which God has promised, they have all the miracles they have seen, that which was written on record, even unto the way to Christ. They still were rebellious. They still could not see. And when the gospel was given down, many of them reject the gospel. Right? Sure. Until some of the 80 got dispersed.
all of Israel, from Jerusalem, from the whole of Israel, dispersed. And then you have the diaspora. You're scattered everywhere around the world. In China, you have the Jew. In Russia, you have the Jew. In Siberia, you have the Jews. In cold, cold places there. In Africa, you have the Jew. In India, you have the Jews too. Scattered everywhere. But God has a purpose in that. But the thing is this. When the children of Israel, when they were rebellious, they always blame it on every other thing. If just many times we can see, he made me do it, she made me do it. It is not like this. Hold your peace. I mean, there are times that you know, because I believe that we as Christians, we know what the government in Singapore is trying to help us to do. Don't eat on the train, don't eat on the bus, right? Don't speak, don't litter. Now, when I was in Japan, oh man, I mean, those of you been in Japan, you know, you will hardly find a trash can. I can tell you that. There's no trash can at the bus stop, not there at the train station, except when you leave the train, there's on the side where you have all those, you know, recycle bin. But outside the station, near around there, you don't see a trash can. You only see a trash can at a place like the 7-Eleven kind of a store, where people are smoking on the outside. And there is on the roadside that says, no smoking while walking. And they don't smoke, you don't see anyone smoking. And they are so obedient. So you know, when I was there walking and, you know, you eat something and then, wow, what is the trash can? At first when I was there, you know, I couldn't find them. I said, why? What's wrong with this? They're doing much. How do you keep the city clean? Do I have a place to throw? Or just keep in the pocket? You see? In America, when I was at a convention years ago, I noticed that the brethren, when they eat, you know, have a candy, they take out the wrap, you know, take out the candy, and they want to do with the wrapper. They fold it and they put it into their pocket. Then when they go back home or go back to the motel, they throw it there in the dustbin. Now, you don't blame me, there's no trash can, just throw it anyhow. You know? I mean, we are Christians, let us be more civilized. I have been at the bus stop where I see teenager, polytechnic student, drinking McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and they love you at the bus stop there. When I was there, I told them, that is this the place where you throw the trash? The trash is just over there. And I said, please put it over there. And all the ticket had to put it over there. And the other day I was on the train. This was just really funny. I was on the train and I was just leaning against the pole near the door. And here came in three persons. Two men and a lady. The office worker dressed very nice. You know, I think they are either just graduated or not, you know. And these two men was, these two young men were having in their hand a cup. Well, they had this soda pop. You know, and they were just sitting in the train. So I was leaning against the pole, so I took out my phone. Alright? And I was just playing my phone, just turned my phone like this, towards them. And the young man said, "Hey, uncle, put your love." You know, so I pretend I didn't hear, you know. So I just take the phone and I walk over to them and sit down. And then they continue, of course, to drink, you know. It's just oblivious. I mean, it's not water, it's sugar pop. And you're going to drop or something in the whole thing. Have you ever think about the caretaker who had to clean? It is not the technician, not the white collar, not the CEO, the doctor come and clean the train, you know? They are the cleaner, they clean the train. So think about all this cleaner out there. So sometimes we don't think because we pay.
You know what I mean? I said, like, you pay a conservancy fee for your apartment every month. And there are people who think they're entitled to it. That's why in the, what they call the void tank, what we have, the letter bin, the letter boxes, some people just throw out all this litter and just throw on the floor. What they think that they pay the money for this cleaner to do all this work for them. Oh my goodness, have some sense. You know. We as Christians, let us do the right thing. Don't say, oh, that is a way to sing right unto me, but don't realize there is a way of that. Even little things like this, oh, well, you blame it on everything else, there's no trash can. Oh, I paid the money, let them sweep the floor. Joshua chapter 9, here we look at God's response, I mean, responsibility to God and our word. Now, in Joshua chapter 9, we don't want to go to totally first. Let us read Deuteronomy chapter 7 first, before we go to Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 to 6. I want you to get a little understanding here on this. Alright, Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 to 6. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Havites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Your daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, and that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you suddenly. But thou shalt deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. You know, groves are the shrines and all that. And burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That goes for us too. We are the special people God has chosen us. But listen to this story, you know. Okay, now, go to Joshua chapter 9. Remember that the law was given, that commandment was given there. So now we go over to Joshua chapter 9 and see what happened. Joshua chapter 9, 1 to 27. Well, that's kind of long to read. Okay, here we have but a certain interesting thing here. Let us read to a place where I want to. And it came to pass when all the kings that were on this side of Jordan, in the hill, and in the valley, and in all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite, Amorite, Canaanite, the Perizzite, Havite, and the Jebusite, heard thereof, they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel. Remember, they crossed over Jordan, huh? They were on the east of Jordan, now they cross over, took Jericho and stopped fighting in Ai, and going west. So all those nations heard about this conquest of Jericho. So they all gathered together to fight Joshua. Alright. And when the inhabitants, of Gibeon heard that Joshua had come unto Jericho and to Ai, that he worked willfully and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent, and bowed up, and old shoes and clothes upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the breaths of their provision were dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, will we come from a far country? Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Havites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they say unto Joshua, we are your servant. And Joshua said unto them, who are you? And from whence you come? And they say unto him, from a very far country, your servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him.
and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Hashbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which were at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our countries spake to us, saying, take virtue with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servant. Therefore now make us a covenant with you, with us. This is our bread we took hot from our provision, out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. Now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. Behold, they be rent. And this our garment and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their virtues and asked not counsel. The men of Israel, that is, took of their virtue and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua make peace with them and make a league with them and to let them leave. And the priests of the congregation swear unto them. Now we are in trouble. The commandment of the Lord is that you go in, destroy every one of them out there, the Hivites and all these seven nations. But because they were congregating one city out there and out there, so there were these Gibeon with their Hivites. They lived there in their place. So they were afraid. So they sent these ambassadors to deceive the children of Israel. They bring old moldy bread. They wear old garments and shoes well torn. And bring a wine that's rancid, they're bad already. And they say, we came from a very, very far country. You know. And now what happened, he said in verse 14, the men of Israel took off their virtue, means they examined. The clothing, the food, all this. They never seek the Lord. They never seek the Lord who these people really are. They should have approached the priest and asked the priest to go into the temple and look at the Tumim and Urim. No, they didn't. Oh my. So what happened over again? 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel. Here it is, their bright spot. That's the problem. When they don't, instead they should be very careful, not simply to listen to someone and say, that's true. We accept it. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Chapter 21, sorry. Verse 1 to 9. Now, that was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year, and David inquired the Lord. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. So these Gibeonites are the ones that make the leak. And he slew them. Okay, what? Okay, now the king called, David called the Gibeonites and said to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel. Well, it is just fantasy to tell you. But of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, right? Okay, that's why he was sworn unto them. The make league already. Supposed to keep them. Okay. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Now, wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver, nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. But, and he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the men that consume us, and that devise against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel. Let 7 men of his son be delivered unto us, and we will hang them unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And the king spared, of course, all this other story. Right now, interesting here. You know, there was famine there in the land. How many days? How many years? 3 years. Year after year. First year there was famine. Now David was a man spiritual enough to want to know what's wrong with this. Why is this famine? God said, okay, it's a natural phenomenon. We will see. And second year passed. The famine. was there.
And the third year passed, and he said, no more, let me inquire. Then when he found out, because of the tunnel giver, saw her slander. And this should not have been done. Because why? They have already made a covenant. And they have to keep that covenant. Do you understand that? And that's what David said. We will keep the covenant with you. What do you want us to do? He said, okay, hang up some of them. That's fine. We don't want Saul's anything. And David made the man to keep the promise. Because our father had made this covenant with them. So we must keep the covenant. Even though they are Hivites, Gibeonites. Now who made this mistake to begin with? Joshua, of course. He failed to inquire the Lord. So you can see now. It is short-sightedness. It is the blind spot. They should remember the covenant. I mean, they should, remember the word of the Lord and inquire the Lord. Because after all, men are liars. The men are deceivers. You see. And of course, I think that sometimes people can learn from the mistake they made, being deceived once. They can deceive twice. But how many times can you be deceived? If you are constantly a person to be deceived all the time, something is wrong because you are not wise. It means you do not think carefully. Don't let blind spot come into your place. One or two more. Look at the story of Jonah. What about Jonah? You know, when we deal with this case of the Gibeon night, remember whatever pledge you made, remember to keep it. You make a vow, you keep the vow. When you make business dealing with people, right? You keep your vow. You keep your pledge. That's what you're supposed to do. That's why if you cannot keep the vow, don't make a vow. Don't make a promise. So now, in the story of Jonah, well, Jonah is a good story. We know what happened to him. God said, all right now, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to this population of people. And you know the story how Jonah said, oh, do you know that these are wicked people? What did he say they are wicked people? Well, what is Jonah trying to say? Lord, you know I'm righteous. I'm a silly man. You know, those people are wicked. Why do you want to save them? You know, sometimes we talk like this. You know, how many times you are... Let us be honest. I'm sincere, right? Okay, I'm going to be sincere. How many of you, when you read a report, a news report, or you heard of a news of some wicked person did some thing, what would you do? Like in the paper today about the three Indian men in India who molest and rape an Indian in India, they were sent to be hanged. They were sent to be hanged. Do you know that? So what do you say? Yeah, he deserved it. Oh, sometimes you know we said, yeah, he deserved it. Now in the paper report also a few days ago about the driver who killed four person, whole family. Huh? And the court case coming up. How many years do you think he deserved? The paper said maybe up to maximum of 5 years. That is not enough. 5 years only. You know, somehow we feel that. And so I said, if any of us are judges, if any of us are Chief Justice of Singapore, then there is no hope for people. But, you know. I mean, I sometimes read a paper about how some of the judges deal with people. Huh? They have a lot of need and compassion because they try to understand the person behind why he did this. But in this case of the drug, probably is under influence of drug. You know, it was not, of course, it was an accident. Of course, accident happened, of course. Accident happened, somebody died. My family died, you know, he got to go to, in fact, should be hanged, or things like that. I mean, you got all these things going through your mind. So, what do you think about Jonah? Yeah, you know, that cannot be. I want to go there. You see, his pride, his ego.
So don't let the pride ego rob you. But when the end, what happened to Jonah? When God dealt with him, chastised him, he got up, he went and converted them, right? How the whole city were converted? Just imagine that. Why? Because he learned to humble after that. Because when God dealt with him and chastised him and go into the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. You know, that's not good to be in the belly of the whale. Probably the size of the belly of the whale is about this room, or half the size of this room. But all the hydrochloric acid there, you know, oh, you know, the body sensation. And when he come out of the whale, probably a bit bleached white. Huh? There happened to be a true case of one who was taken by a whale too, huh? If you ever read the record. You go to Google and search for it, you probably find it. The person came out of the belly of the whale, it was bleached white. You know. Alright? So we read the book of Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confess and forsake them shall have mercy. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Alright. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16. In the last part of it. The last part of the verse 16. He that believes shall not make haste. He that believes shall not make haste. Isaiah 28, 16. Now, in closing with this, one of the things we should do is to be patient in God's timing. God has His time with every one of us. There are things that perhaps we do not understand, many things we do not understand. But don't rush into trying to reason your own, you know, philosophical reasoning, justifying what you want to do. We have a mistake that we made. Sometimes when I look back in the mistake that I made, I regret. I already told you the story, you know, the things that I've done one time about how that I deceived an ice kacang man. Many times. Back in those days, you know, we don't have the money. And ice kacang, you know, ice, shred ice, it was a man with a store not far from my home. And he shred ice with the red bean paste, with the other seed, I don't know what else was in there. And his shred ice was so fine, like snow, really. He'd always tap his little blade and make it real sharp in such anger that the ice, when it comes out, when it touches your tongue, it actually melts away. Not like some of these, they always know this. You can feel a lot of lumpy ice there. You know, I love this ice kacang. I love that. And it was 10 cents per plate or 15 cents per plate. You know, I was being a schoolboy, going to school, and loved the ice kacang. I was in primary school, you know. Come home. So I would go to the store there, in front of the store, and he's working behind. And I take out my, I know my tricks, bad tricks. I took out my 10 cent. I said, sir, I want a pay, I know. I'll take an order. Ask kacang, one plate. So I put a 10 cent there and put my hand up. And so he was tapping, and said, put it back, you know, put the money into my pocket. And then he sent me the ice kacang and I go eat. Now this thing happened many times. And this man, I couldn't believe it. One day, he caught me, and he was very gentle with me. He said, young man, you have been eating my ice kacang free of charge every day. My, I was shocked! He caught me, random! So the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. So later, when I became a Christian, when my life was changed, that man passed away. He no longer was there. I wanted to go up to him and say, I'm sorry, you know what? I want to tell him that, but he is gone. I regret that. You know, I love what I ask of John, but I deceived the man. But in deceiving him, I deceived myself. He knew all the time the tricks that I was playing. You know. So we all make mistakes, but you know, we cannot let all these mistakes paralyze us. Crying over it, regret over it. I don't know, like, take for example the MH370 plane that goes down somewhere. Perhaps on that plane somebody was not supposed to be there. You know? And the mother or parent or someone, you know, just give it to him too. Just say, okay, take this flight, change the flight or whatever. You know, you never know. So if you miss the flight, sometimes it's the will of the Lord that you should not be on that plane, for all you know. But what happens if you, your loved one, you just say, okay, I got your flight changed, anyway, you go home early or go home a little later or something, and then something happened. And you can get very sorrowful. But don't let past mistake and disappointment or whatever happen paralyze your walk with the Lord. And don't let other people's, imperfection. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect. Don't let other people's imperfection hinder you. Don't say, oh, you know, I don't come to church because so-and-so behave like this. You know. We have all kinds of excuses. Remember this. You will never find a church on this earth that is perfect. Because when it's perfect, a church shouldn't be around here anymore. And for that matter, God is not dealing with the whole church as a group. He's dealing with individuals. He's dealing with you and me individually. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You know. So this we need to know. Lastly, last week, a text. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 10. Alright, so have patience in God's timing. There is always the grace of God, but don't make God's grace a disgrace. And when we are impatient to do something that we should not be doing, and haste to do it, you cause trouble. Huh? Alright. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subjected one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus. After that, you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. See that? So let us subject one another, humble ourselves before one another, have patience with one another, don't run, don't haste, seeking the will of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and thank you for your blessing, O Father. And in thy word, O Lord, we dwell. Keep us, O Lord, keep us in thy word. And from day to day, Father, help us to examine ourselves. As we walk with thee, Father, in this world of wickedness, there is a lot of voices, a lot of turmoil out there, too, Lord. Sometimes there's so much things out there, oh Lord, that stress our life and put us down and pull us this direction and that direction, oh Father. But Lord, we need to find time in refreshment, oh Lord, in thy spirit, oh Lord, to be alone with you. We need to find times, oh Lord, in times like this, to be alone with you and to seek your strength, Father, and for your direction also, Lord, in what way and which way we should go.
and what we should do.
So Father, we ask for your blessing today, for the rest of the day. And Lord, as is designed in our heart, Lord, that we thirst after righteousness. And always, O Lord, seek your will in the word of the living God. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.